Let the music go. We're taking a tour of musical acts, touching down in Wisconsin this fall. It is Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. So just because Labor Day has passed doesn't mean the music slows down in our state. Quite the contrary. There are some icons saying farewell, Elton John, some iconic bands making another comeback, Goo Goo Dolls, and there are some acts like Lizzo who can stake a claim in confidence-boosting flutist rapper pop star status. Did we follow all of that? Which new artists do you think people should be talking about? Which established artists are you excited to see for the first time, maybe the 10th time this fall? Join in with your concert stories, your questions, 800-642-1234. Justin Barney is music director at 88.9 Radio Milwaukee. Justin, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, Kay, thanks for having me back.
And Jordan Lee is 88.9's program director. Jordan, welcome to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having us on.
Jordan, let's start with you. We just heard there a little bit of the Alabama Shakes playing Don't Want to Fight. You know, this group's front woman, guitarist Brittany Howard, let me tell you, I am clearly not the first person who says this lady rocks. They're playing September 18th, Pabst Theater in Milwaukee. What can you tell us about this concert?
Without a doubt, she's one of the most original voices in contemporary music, period. Of course, the Alabama Shakes introduced us to Brittany. She's taking a complete new direction with her solo work, so this is going to be unlike an Alabama Shakes show, but it's going to be just as satisfying.
And satisfying in what way? How will it be Brittany Howard?
She is just undeniable on the stage. There's legends you can compare her to. It's probably not fair, but like Aretha Franklin, like Diana Ross, she's got these natural God-given talents that she just belts on the stage and never ceases to amaze the audience.
And I don't know whether it's competing between her voice and what she's doing on the guitar, because both are just ripping.
And with this new project, she's taking the sound in a completely new direction, too. So I'm actually anticipating, what is this show like? I know what I get when I see the Alabama Shakes. It's a good, soulful, Stax Wax kind of thing going on. But with this new show, I'm very surprised and excited to see what she brings to the stage.
And what will it feel like at the Pabst Theater? What do you like about that venue?
It's so intimate. It's a beautiful historic room. If you've not been to the Pabst Theater, it's just an unforgettable experience. And you get so close, especially if you're in the second balcony. You feel closer to the stage, even though you're so high in the air. And that intimacy with an artist like Brittany, who can just, again, belt it out and just bring you to a special place, it's going to feel even intensified.
Okay, Justin, so one artist you're excited to see is Juicebox. They play the Cactus Club in Milwaukee on October 5th, and we're going to hear a little from their single Coinstar song, and then we're going to get your thoughts. You die, wake up in the morning, but you don't know why. People everywhere just trying to get by, like go, 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 go. Oh, you're gonna break your stride. Out of your mind, you're holding on to your pride. People everywhere just trying to get by, like go, 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 go. All right, Justin Barney, what are you excited about here with Juicebox?
Juicebox is the best. You know, when we were putting this list together, we're talking about people that are playing at the Five Serve Forum, that are playing at the Alliant Energy Center. And I was like, I want to make it a point to talk about Juicebox, who is playing one of the smallest rooms in the entire state. He's playing Cactus Club in Bayview in Milwaukee. And, like, I love Juicebox because Juicebox is a wild man on stage. I mean, just one of the most insane shows. I talked to him one time, and he was like, I think I got a concussion because he was just thrashing so hard. And so Juicebox is from Mequon. He's a hometown hero. He's from Mequon. He started making music when he was like 13 years old, and he started playing. He was kind of famous in Milwaukee because his mom would drive him to the show, and then he'd play. He'd like start at midnight and go until like 1:30 in the morning. And then he moved to New York, and he's lived in Baltimore. He was written into an episode of the HBO show Girls. Mm-hmm. And also a New Yorker wrote a book about him called The Next Level that is kind of like about Juicebox's intensity for life and his kind of philosophy about making it. and wanting to take things to the next level. I mean, he has his own line of energy drinks. Zone.
We have them here at the office.
I was going to say, Jordan, I mean, 88.9, you guys were really on to Juice Box early on.
Well, yeah, Justin's right. I mean, this guy is a living legend at this point in the game.
Yeah, and he's been in the game for like a decade, and he is like 27 years old. He just puts on an absolutely insane show. You don't have to like. We know that a lot of people don't know who Juice Box is, and that's fine. Juice Box is the kind of great show. He's playing October 5th at the Cactus Club, where you just need to show up and be amazed because he is going to put on one of the most high intensity. Thrashing, just wild show.
We are previewing concerts coming to Wisconsin this fall, like Juice Box. Our guides are Justin Barney and Jordan Lee from 88.9 Radio in Milwaukee. You can join in 800-642-1234 with concerts that you're excited about this fall. So, Justin, a few months after playing Summerfest, Lizzo is returning to our state playing the Sylvie in Madison on October 10th. And let's hear a little bit of Juice. What are you expecting from Lizzo?
Fire. You know, I would say that you should go to the show, but it's been sold out since 5 minutes after tickets went on sale. So, like, maybe you should go outside and shake someone down or pay five times what tickets are worth, because it is worth it. Lizzo is the most charismatic person making music right now. And if you've ever seen a Lizzo performance, if you've seen Lizzo say seven words, if you have seen her in a song, you know that she just has it. There's this kind of like mysterious it that we talk about, that we want people to have, and Lizzo's got it. She plays flute on stage. She gets everybody. She has two dancers involved, and it is it's sold out in seconds, rightfully so, because she's got that charisma, and she will bring it hard.
We are witnessing history. We're going to remember Lizzo 25 years from now and be like, oh, that woman from the Midwest who changed popular music. This is happening right now.
Well, Jordan, we think about music festivals mainly in the summer, but we have Farm Aid coming up next weekend at Alpine Valley. So there's Willie Nelson, Neil Young, John Mellencamp, Dave Matthews. What about this?
We are really we're lucky. Wisconsin is lucky. We've gotten Farm Aid twice. We got the 25th anniversary in 2010 when Miller Park was a bouncing baby new little park, and we were super excited about it. And now we are getting it back here, and it's super, super special to go back to Alpine Music Theater in Alpine Valley. That also a legendary concert venue, and you're getting Dave Matthews, John Mellencamp, Neil Young. These are artists you want to see in that environment. Alpine Valley Music Theater is the ideal backdrop for what is Farm Aid. I think we really, again, looking through the history of the festival, Wisconsin's lucky we've had it twice.
We're on a tour of the Great Fall Concerts in Wisconsin that we should keep on our radar. We have the program director and music director from 88.9 Radio Milwaukee helping us out, Justin Barney and Jordan Lee, respectively. Are you planning to see Elton John, Lizzo, Godsmack, another artist coming this fall? 800-642-1234. This is Bulletproof by Godsmack, who will perform in Madison next week. Stay with us for more on the Ideas Network. We're getting a fall concert preview, letting the music breathe on this Wisconsin weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. We're hearing Claro emerging from her bedroom music uploads as a teen, going viral, now on tour, coming to Milwaukee in about a couple weeks. So summer is traditionally when the biggest tours hit the road, but apparently a lot of major artists didn't get the memo, including Violent Femmes, Elvis Costello, Neil Young. So where are you willing to travel for a concert? Have you gone to Chicago or the Twin Cities just to see a show? 800-642-1234. Tweet us WPR Mornings. And our trusty music guides, Jordan Lee, is program director at 88.9 Radio Milwaukee. Justin Barney is 88.9's music director. They stay with us. Justin, we were hearing Claro there, coming in, and Claro and Whitney coming to Turner Hall next month. So let's first hear a little Whitney with their song Used to Be Lonely.
Used to be lonely.
So, Justin, why Whitney on your radar?
Oh, did you hear that? It sounded so nice. Whitney is just like a nice, easy breezy band that is coming up. They just released their sophomore album, and they're playing at Turner Hall. They're two guys that are from Chicago, and they're on the rise. You know, we're talking about other bands that are playing at these huge venues. You know, I'm kind of thinking of like the Black Keys are playing at the Pfizer Forum. Claro and Whitney are two bands that I think they will play there eventually. Or there's all these artists that start there. And it's like, I didn't see the Black Keys when the Black Keys played Turner Hall or a venue of that size. And now, like, seeing like when they come to the Pfizer Forum, I'm like, I missed them on the come up. And I wish that I would have seen them there. For bands like Claro and Whitney, this is your chance to see them before they get into a venue that doesn't feel as personal, that you're way at the outside looking in. If you see Whitney at Turner Hall Ballroom, you're going to see them in the intimate setting that really, you know, sets their music, that really makes, and for Claro, she makes this kind of like bedroom pop. And it's really like the perfect in-between venue to see them before they get to a venue that you're going to feel like you missed something.
Yeah, Jordan, how did Claro come on the scene?
Well, for us, again, it was this kind of, you know, viral success. We're always trying to pay attention to all the other little bells and whistles that are going off on the internet. And this is a time, too, where artists can come from very humble, simple beginnings and grow up real fast.
Claro is 21 years old.
21.
In 2017, she released a song on a father-daughter, which is this tiny record label. They did a cassette tape compilation, and she released one song on that compilation. She was signed to Fader in 2018, and she is just there every once in a year there is like an artist who just kind of like hits the asteroid.
Yes.
And it's just like, you know, now she has 7 million followers a month on Spotify, and she has gone from 0 to 7 million
real fast.
A matter of months.
That can be a formula for a one-hit wonder. But it also can be the thing like the White Stripes factor, where remember when that band went from nothing to something real fast?
So there is that trajectory as well to consider. Let's bring in Paul now in Eau Claire. Hi, Paul.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I just want to make a comment. I recently saw Elton John in concert, and if you have the chance, you just have to see his farewell tour. Nothing but high energy, 72 years of age, and his band members, and notably his percussionists, are also getting up there, but you would not know it.
Where did you see him, Paul?
So I actually saw them in Salt Lake City, but of course he's making a farewell tour around the country, and just highly recommended.
Well, Paul, thanks so much. Justin, we can't forget Elton John bidding adieu.
I am so jealous that he saw Elton John.
Me too, because that show sold out in like 30 seconds.
Yes, and Elton John is coming to the Pfizer Forum on October 19th, and he's doing his farewell tour. I mean, Rocket Man came out earlier this year, so it's like a perfect timing to kind of like do this farewell tour that he's had on the books for a while. But I'm seeing Crocodile Rock. Candle in the Wind. I mean,
right. Come
on. This is an absolute bona fide legend who came onto the scene doing something totally different as someone absolutely unique. There will never be another Elton John, and this is the last chance to see him. I'm so jealous that he got to see Elton John in Salt Lake City.
Well, speaking of,
get a chance to see him.
Yeah, speaking of Elton, a bunch of groups that are loved by older generations. I'm not saying Paul anything there, but like, you know, Violent Femmes coming to Green Bay and the Goo Goo Dolls, Appleton, Elton in Milwaukee, Elvis Costello has shows in Madison and Milwaukee. Are you expecting much more new music from these concerts, or are these fan favorites, Jordan?
A lot of these, it depends. I mean, Elvis is active and releasing new music regularly. So yep. You go to Elvis Costello and the Imposters record, he could go back, he could play new material, he can go anywhere he wants. I think with shows like the Goo Goo Dolls, they're at the Fox Cities Performing Arts Center in Appleton, that's going to be definitely a nostalgia-based performance. That's going to be going back through the hits. And this is a band that, like you said, I mean, they had a lot of hits, but they haven't done a lot recently, so you're going to be more of a nostalgia-focused concert there.
We're previewing concerts coming to Wisconsin this fall. Our guides are Justin Barney and Jordan Lee from 88.9 Radio Milwaukee. Let's go to Mike now in Eau Claire. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm excited to see Bon Iver later this fall in Eau Claire. He's doing a show that's going to be choreographed to a dance performance. I think it's called either Two Dance or TU Dance. I'm not sure how it's pronounced, but I've seen Bon Iver several times, and I'm just really excited to see his show in Eau Claire.
Oh, Mike, that is going to be amazing, breathtaking. Justin, and you have some intimate knowledge of Bon Iver, I understand, because you were embedded with the band.
Yeah, I was just on tour with Bon Iver for 3 days, for the first 3 dates of his tour. We started in Missoula, Montana, and then went to Vail, Colorado, and then went to Red Rocks in Denver. And this Bon Iver tour is something different. He's coming on October 3rd, he's coming to St. Paul, and then October 4th, he's going to be in Illinois, if you can see him. I've seen Bon Iver 10 times, and this tour is different. Bon Iver is a jam band now. They are jamming on the old material. They are jamming on the new material. They have taken a way to take their old stuff and make it sound totally new. And I know that, like, Bob Dylan has, like, done this before where they takes old songs and makes them sound new. And I was always like, give me what there is on the album. That's what I want to hear. But I get it now, because Bon Iver has taken his old songs and reworks them into something that is totally fun, totally new, and is a completely new experience for the listener. He is something different on this tour, I am telling you. So if you can see Bon Iver on this tour, absolutely do it, because it is something else.
And also history in the making with that. Parallel to Lizzo, these are artists who, I mean, Bon Iver has taken his trajectory from winning that Grammy so many moons ago and has become a national treasure as an independent and alternative artist. And we're watching history happen with Bon Iver right now.
Well, let's squeeze in one more call. Bill in Eau Claire. Hi, Bill.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Who are you going to see?
Actually, next month we're going to see the 50th anniversary of Little Feet.
Aha. Where are you going to see Little Feet?
I think it's at the State Theater in Twin Cities. Also, last year we saw the 50th anniversary of Days of Future Past at Moody Blues. That was an incredible show.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're pretty lucky to be, you know, an hour and a half or so from cities or Madison or something like that. So looking forward to it.
Well, Bill, thanks so much. Justin Barney, you know, Bill is getting in the car, going to the Twin Cities to hear some history.
Yeah, that is amazing. Little Feet going to be playing that. And that's just, you know, part of this whole thing is seeing bands that you have loved for a long time and getting to see someone for maybe the first time or the millionth time, you know, is the great part about seeing live music.
And Bill, being in Eau Claire, you're also lucky because there's a renaissance happening right at home where there's artists who are going to be the future Little Feats who are playing and things are happening. And again, going back to Bon Iver and what Justin's doing for the region right now, this is a really exciting time to be in Wisconsin and to see live music.
Yeah, Eau Claire is where it's at. So, Bill, you can stay home once in a while. Well,
yeah.
Justin and Jordan, thank you so much for joining us. This has been fun.
Thank you so much, Kate.
It was a real pleasure.
Justin Barney is the music director at 88.9 Radio Milwaukee. Jordan Lee is program director there. This is Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. Coming up, we talk about the range of flavors you can find in Wisconsin wines. But first, we have some Tennessee whiskey by Chris Stapleton, who plays the Alliant Energy Center in Madison next month. And that's who takes us away to the news here on the Ideas Network. Enjoy. We're talking about wineries and wine festivals around Wisconsin here on this Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So hold off for a moment on those hillside vineyards in Napa that are calling you. Many Wisconsin wineries grow their own grapes, and this is the perfect time of year for us to experience the wines made right here. So swirling, tasting, pairing, here we go. Wine lovers, what is your favorite Wisconsin wine or your favorite winery in our state? Have you ever tried ice wine? Did you like it or was it not for you? Join in at 800-642-1234. Ryan Prowitz is president of the Wisconsin Winery Association, and he's co-owner, along with his spouse, of Vines and Rushes Winery in Ripon. Ryan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thank you, Kate.
So we're seeing dozens of wineries around our state. When did our cold state, known for beer, start getting into winemaking?
Well, the answer to that is it was slow over a progression of time. So back to the late 60s, early 70s, we had Von Steele and Bolesheim Winery both open up. And over the next 30 years or so, there's another 10 wineries or so that opened up. And then in starting in around year 2000, we had 13 wineries. Today, we have closer to 120, 110, somewhere in that range. I don't have the exact number at hand, but it's we've grown by about 5 to 15 wineries a year pretty consistently over the last 18 years.
All right, so how do you manage to grow grapes here with our four seasons?
Well, the key is to choose varieties that can survive our winters here in Wisconsin. It really depends on how cold-hardy a grape variety is. So a grape variety like Chardonnay or Cabernet Sauvignon or Riesling isn't going to be quite cold enough capable to handle Wisconsin's winters. And so we actually use varieties that have been developed by a few different breeders over the years, including kind of the guy that's known as the grandfather of the cold climate grape industry named Elmer Swenson, lived in Osceola, Wisconsin. And so he did some breeding of different varieties to get what was grapes that could really sustain the winters here. The University of Minnesota has kind of taken over that project. And they've been releasing varieties since the mid-80s. Mm. And we now work with some varieties such as Marquette and St. Pepin, La Crescent, Frontenac. Those are all varieties that can handle the winter here in Wisconsin. And they don't have any issues with a few other things that that some of the cold climate or some of the California or vinifera varieties would have issue with.
So, Ryan, bring us closer to the taste. What do our wines taste like here in Wisconsin?
Oh, that's so I think some of the common misconceptions are that there's only fruit wines or only sweet fruit wines that are being produced in Wisconsin. And I think that has really changed over the years. We have a really broad array of different styles that are being made in Wisconsin. It's everything from that sweeter, fruitier wine, but everything down to drier whites or drier reds made from Wisconsin-grown grapes. And there are other wineries in Wisconsin that use California varietals or that bring in from different regions. And so we're making a huge variety of different styles here in Wisconsin. And that's part of the fun of doing what we do is when you do this in a state that doesn't necessarily have expectations of exactly how a wine should taste with a specific variety, like a Marquette is so new that we don't know exactly how it should taste, or people don't have that impression of how it should taste. And so we get the opportunity to kind of define that and to kind of create that palette.
Yeah,
a
clean palette, starting fresh.
Exactly.
We're traveling around the state to wine festivals and tasting. Our guide is Ryan Prelwitz, who co-owns a winery in Ripon and leads the Wisconsin Winery Association. What questions do you have about winemaking or wine tasting? Which wineries in Wisconsin have you visited? Do you have any favorites? Are there upcoming festivals that you enjoy that involve wine? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Aaron now, joining us from Peshtigo. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
I want to put in a plug for my local winery here in Peshtigo. It's called Forgotten Fire, which is a reference to the Peshtigo fire that burned this part of the state 160 years ago. And Peshtigo has been economically really hit the last two decades, probably. And this winery is about 5 years old. They're really a bright spot in the community. They host a lot of events, a lot of benefits. They have a trivia night once a month, and they have live music and food trucks on Saturdays in the summertime. And they make a really extensive line of wines, from the sweet to the dry, and every tasty wine you can think of. They make a lot of unpretentious wines, which I enjoy. and hard ciders and things. And yeah, it's a really nice focal point for the community up here.
Well, I really like how you bring in that community aspect, Aaron. Ryan, do you see communities rally around their wineries?
Yes, we do, definitely. So wineries can be a very significant economic impact to a community. And I think a lot of communities really do recognize that, the tourism impact that people bring in, that wineries will bring in more people to a community, and heads in beds, people in restaurants, gas stations get more traffic, all the other retail locations get more traffic anytime somebody comes into the community with the intent of visiting a winery, or they're coming in for another reason, for a festival of some sort in a community, and then they're also visiting a winery. So the wineries certainly feel the impact. And they are also some of the impact, or the reason for the impact. And so I think the communities really rally around that. And it's a great reason to advertise a community. For our own place, we say, we're a reason for Ripon. So it's a reason that people know Ripon and enjoy visiting the community is because of the winery that exists there. And there's a number of other communities that do a really good job of embracing that winery that exists in their community.
Well, let's talk about some of those communities where these festivals are coming up. And as Aaron said, Forgotten Fire has lots of events and benefits. Take us to the Wet Whistle Wine Fest. This is at Von Steel Winery in Algoma this weekend. What can you tell us about it?
It's been around for years. It's a really popular festival. Von Steel is one of the oldest, I think it's the oldest winery in the state. They traditionally focus mostly on fruit wines, and now they have a broader array of styles. They're located in Algoma. Brad and Eric Schmeiling are the current owners, and it was a winery started by a guy named Constantine Frank. There's a lot of history that goes into it, and there's caves actually below the building where some of the production is still done today. So it's a really cool facility, a really cool winery. They do a great job.
Wait a minute, some production today is still done in the caves? So tell us how the caves get incorporated in the winemaking.
So there's barrel storage. Those are old stone caves that were built essentially at the building of the building itself, which I think even maybe predated the winery itself. And so I believe they're storing barrels down there. They might be storing some tanks in there as well. They're relatively short ceilings in there because of the nature of the cave. But it's a cool atmosphere. And I think they can will occasionally host some different events down in that space as well. So that's a cool atmosphere to do that.
And this Wet Whistle Wine Fest has a grape stomp this weekend. What might that entail?
Getting essentially messy feet. So a grape stomp is going to be, they'll have probably a barrel cut in half or a trough of some sort where people jump in with their feet. Sometimes they do a competition with it. So you've got a few people that get the same amount of grapes, and whoever can produce the most juice from their feet wins. Over a period of time.
When we're at the Wine Fest, is there a possibility you think we can get a tour of their winery, maybe see these caves?
Quite possibly. I don't know what they're doing on that specific day. Mm-hmm. I know they do regularly host tours. When you get a really busy day like that, it's hard to say how some of those offerings change. But I'm sure you can get a taste of wine very well, maybe we'll get a tour.
Wine will be in the mix. We'll take us to Kewaunee, the Cold Country Vines and Wine Fall Harvest Festival there. What's going on?
Sure. So Jay and Kay Steger are the owners of Cold Country. Cold Country is it started probably 6 or 8 years ago. They have a really cool atmosphere. Jay is actually a little piece of knowledge. Jay is a nuclear engineer at the local nuclear plant, or historically was. I don't know if he's actually still there or not. But they've got live music going on and a bunch of other stuff happening.
Some grape picking in the morning.
Yeah, so that's that time of year. Right now, grapes are happening. Grape harvest is happening all throughout the state. Pretty much every winery is receiving grapes in at this point in time, assuming they're working with our Wisconsin varietals. It's, you know, we're kind of gluttons for punishment here in the state where, all right, it's harvest time, so that's a really busy time of year.
Come to the festival, we'll put you to work, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
We're on a tour of wine-infused events and festivals around Wisconsin. Ryan Prawlwitz is our guide. He's president of the Wisconsin Winery Association. He owns a winery in Ripon. Have you been to wine tastings? What do you love about them? Or maybe you've never been to a wine tasting and have questions about how it works. Call in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll get back to Wisconsin Weekend in just a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're swirling, tasting, and pairing Wisconsin wines in this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Our state is home to dozens of wineries, and right now, in the fall, into the holiday season, it's a great time to sample our state's authentic reds and whites. Do you work at a winery? What is your favorite part of the job? What might surprise people about the work? Join in at 800-642-1234. Ryan Prawlwitz stays with us. He's president of the Wisconsin Winery Association, and he's in the business himself, owning a winery in Ripon. Well, let's continue on this festival path, Ryan. There in Cedarburg on the 21st is the Wine and Harvest Festival, another grape stomp there. What do we know about this festival?
So this one is a little bit more of a community-driven event where you've got Cedarburg. And as we were talking earlier about a community that's really embraced the winery, they are hosting a Wine and Harvest Festival in Cedarburg. Website is cedarburgfestivals.org. And it's been going on for 47 years, so that's a pretty long time. They have Cedar Creek Winery. It's located in Cedarburg, and that is the sister winery to Rollersheim Winery, which is located in Prairie du Sac.
Uh-huh.
It's a And that's they're actually the second owners of the winery. When the previous owner passed away, he had worked out an agreement with Wollersheim's to take over the business for him. And so you've got a neat bit of history there with essentially some families working together to maintain the business. And something that's really helped the community. Cedarburg is a really cool little community, and I think the winery really has a pretty big impact on that as well.
Well, also the same weekend, the 21st, 22nd, there in St. Croix Falls, two festivals, the Harvest Festival and Grape Stomp at Chateau St. Croix Winery. And then there's also Dragonfly Winery doing an event. So lots going on there.
Yeah, if you've never been to Chateau St. Croix, it was actually built to look like a castle, like an old English castle. Manor style. It's really cool appearance-wise. They've got some craft vendor booths. They're going to be doing a grape stomp. It's another cool atmosphere. And that's the thing you'll find with all the wineries throughout the state is that it's fun to have different styles and different opportunities at each one of these. Each one has its own little flair. And each one has its own offerings. So it's just really fun to have that, where you can visit wineries throughout the state and get a little something different at each one.
Well, take us to Kohler. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, sure. Dancing Dragonfly is located pretty close to Chateau St. Croix. They have Grape Stomp going on as well. They've got food available, wine tastings. They've got some artisan booths as well, live music. Most of these, I think almost all of these are free admission as well. So these are pretty cool opportunities to get out and see something new and different that you may not have been exposed to before.
Well, take us next month to Kohler, October 17th through the 20th. There's the food and wine experience. My guess is a little bit more high-end in Kohler.
Absolutely. I've yet to go myself. It's on my to-do list. It's right in the middle of harvest, so it's a little tricky for me to get there. But this is probably one of the nicest events in the state surrounding food and wine. Kohler does things well with their facility. They've got all kinds of different – they've got food shows or cooking classes. They've got all kinds of different brands that are there represented in different ways. It's just a really cool atmosphere. There's a lot of information about food and wine, lots of opportunity to taste different things, and it's just a fun atmosphere.
Well, there is so much going on. Thank you so much, Ryan, for joining us and giving us a preview.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Ryan Prelwitz is president of the Wisconsin Winery Association, and he's co-owner of Vines and Rushes Winery in Ripon. And now it's time for Wisconsin Live. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a Wisconsin question about a rare butterfly.
We recently received a listener question from Rachel Potter in Fitchburg. She wondered, why don't more Wisconsinites know about the regal fritillary butterfly? Good question, Rachel. WPR's Mary Kate McCoy recently put on her hiking shoes and set out to find one on a restored prairie in southwestern Wisconsin. Rich Henderson of the Prairie Enthusiasts took her exploring.
It's not too wet. Maybe if we walk, we'll pluck them. Wait, that's flying like a regal. It's behaving like a regal.
Oh.
Come on, settle so I can get a look. Settle. It looks like a regal. The back end's flashing black, white, black light. Top side of the back end is lots of dark. In the front end, there's lots of orange. It looks like you took two different species of butterfly.
It's a beautiful summer day. About 80 degrees, sunny, no wind. Perfect conditions for butterfly watching.
Are you seeing a white flash on the bottom side?
I think so.
The regals they can be pretty active, but they tend to stay kind of low like he was doing, dropping mm-hmm. down, coming up.
Kind of like that one right there? See it come up and down?
Oh, boy, no.
Yeah. It's moving this way.
That's a regal. That is definitely a regal.
The regal fritillary. It's majestic, it's charismatic, and it's one of Wisconsin's severely threatened prairie butterflies.
But back to the listener's question, why aren't more Wisconsinites familiar with the elusive butterfly? Or why do monarchs get all the attention?
So when something's that well-known and popular and it starts to decline, it resonates with people. Regal fritillaries have been so rare for so long, a lot of people don't know they exist. But at one time, 100 years ago, regal fritillaries were as common as monarchs.
Henderson said to think back to your elementary school science class. What insect was used to illustrate metamorphosis? The monarch. That isn't to say the monarch isn't deserving of the attention and support. But the reality is, the regal is far more endangered than the monarch. And bigger picture, it's not one species that needs to be saved. It's an entire ecosystem. The insects are rare because the prairie ecosystem is rare.
We've converted or lost 99% of the habitat.
That was Jay Watson, a conservation biologist at the DNR.
So they're really little postage stamp size things all over the landscape. And these butterflies used to, you know, move all over the landscape. It was intact. But now it's kind of like the island effect where they wink out here and there's no way to recolonize. So then they're gone from that site. Then they're gone from another site. And all those little events add up into, and all of a sudden, the species is kind of going down the extinction vortex.
Watson says that while there are a few butterfly communities still hanging on around Wisconsin, regals have all but disappeared east of the Mississippi. Oklahoma, Kansas, and Nebraska are the only strongholds left. Watson said helping regals is a little trickier than, say, planting milkweed for monarchs. Regals are picky about their habitat. They need lots of open space and lots of islets. Watson says it's been a good couple of years for regals and other butterflies, but it only takes one extreme season to knock them out at a site, and it's a constant challenge to restore and maintain enough habitat.
They were persisting in areas that were grazed. People had their cows on there, and if they weren't grazed too intensely, there was still enough violets and enough of that intact system left.
Watson says different types of management could benefit the regals. He says the first step is being aware of the different requirements species need to live out their life cycle. And for regals, that means more intact prairies.
WPR's Mary Kate McCoy brought us this report on the regal fritillary butterfly. And this story idea came from an audience question as part of the Wisconsin Project. Submit your question and we might answer it in a future Wisconsin Life segment. Go to WPR.org/Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every single Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast. And find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. What's happening in your part of the state that could reach all corners of Wisconsin? Send your ideas for Wisconsin Weekend to mornings@WPR.org, and we'll explore your tip for a future program. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is Wisconsin Weekend on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.